content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the AFB, details of the leadership conference coming up May 2nd and 3rd. From CNN, persons with disabilities left behind by telemedicine and other means of communication in the pandemic. From the New York Times, the Paralympics, skiing Agner family. From People magazine, how many medals did the U.S. win at the Games? Only two silver from Jake Adikoff in the cross-country visually impaired. The other were other limb impairments and other impairments. The Ukrainians have the second highest medal count. That's what I'm going to start with. From an email from Sylvia Stinson-Perez, meet the AFB LC 2022 keynote speakers. Theme, inclusion at work, driving change and shifting perceptions. Leadership Conference, May 2nd through 3rd, 2022. Meet the keynote speakers. American Foundation for the Blind Leadership Conference, Hyatt Regency, Arlington, Virginia. The AFB Leadership Conference is back to an in-person format at the Hyatt Regency Crystal City in Arlington, Virginia, May 2nd and 3rd. We have a tremendous lineup of speakers and programming this year. There are hot links for each, including a unique Ideathon exercise hosted by our friends at the J.P. Morgan Chase Tech for Social Good team. We received an overwhelmingly high number of speaker abstracts and panel submissions, and we thank all who submitted their great ideas. We have more exciting programming coming this summer and look forward to including many more voices in AFB programming in the future. I'm especially excited to share that our keynote speakers will be Sachin Pavarthan, PhD, Executive Director at the United States Access Board, and Katarina Rivera, MSED, MPH, CPACC, a dynamic speaker, trainer, workshop facilitator, and DEI consultant. Dr. Pavarthan's keynote will focus on disability rights in and out of the workplace. He has over 20 years' experience working in the disability field with expertise in research, accessibility, program implementation, and policy development, both domestically and internationally. Dr. Pavarthan also participated in AFB's Centennial Conversation on Inclusion, Intersectionality, and the Future of Work. Ms. Rivera's keynote will be titled, There is No DEI Without Disability. The future of work must prioritize disability inclusion. You can explore some of her short videos on disability awareness, inclusion, and accessibility on her Instagram account, at BlindishLatina. We look forward to gathering in person again. To support everyone's health and safety, we are requiring proof of vaccination to attend, and we have created dining and networking options designed to promote social distancing. As a reminder, your registration fee includes continental breakfast, boxed lunch choices, and snacks on both days of the event, as well as tasty selections at Monday's reception. Register today at the hot link. Please visit afb.org/AFBLC for more information and send any questions about the event to afblc@afb.org. Thank you. Signed, Sylvia Stinson-Perez, Chief Programs Officer, American Foundation for the Blind, 1401 South Clark Street, Suite 3730, Arlington, Virginia, 22202, United States. From CNN.com, people with disabilities left behind by telemedicine and other pandemic medical innovations. Diva Goel, G-O-E-L, a 35-year-old deafblind woman in Orlando, Florida, has had two telemedicine doctor's appointments during the pandemic. Each time she was denied an interpreter. Her doctors told her she would have to get insurance to pay for an interpreter, which is incorrect. Under federal law, it is the physician's responsibility to provide one. Goel's mother stepped in to interpret instead, but her signing is limited, so Goel, who owes only some vision, is not sure her mother fully conveyed what the doctors said. Goel worries about the medical ramifications, a wrong medicine or treatment, if something got lost in translation. It's really, really hard to get real information, and so I feel very stuck in my situation, she signed through an interpreter. Telemedicine, teleworking, rapid tests, virtual school, and vaccine drive-throughs have become part of American routines as they enter year three of life amid COVID-19. But as innovators have raced to make living in a pandemic world safer, some people with disabilities have been left behind. Those with a physical disability may find the at-home COVID tests that allow re-entry into society hard to perform. Those with limited vision may not be able to read the small print on the instructions, while blind people cannot see the results. The American Council of the Blind is engaged in litigation against the two dominant medical testing companies, LabCorp and Quest Diagnostics, over touchscreen check-in kiosks at their testing locations. Sometimes the obstacles are basic logistics. If you're blind or low vision and you live alone, you don't have a car, said Sheila Young, president of the Florida Council of the Blind, pointing to the long lines of cars at drive-through testing and vaccination sites. Who can afford an Uber or Lyft to sit in line for 3 hours? One in four adults in the U.S. have some sort of disability, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Though barriers for the disabled have long existed, the pandemic brings life or death stakes to such long-running inequities. The only thing that I see that folks with disabilities are cared for last and are dying first, said Matthew Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, a founding member and the current litigation director of the Disability Independence Group in Florida. People directly affected by accessibility barriers, especially those living in communal settings or the homebound, often don't have the time, money, or energy to file legal complaints. Federal, state, and local governments also violate disability statutes. A KHN investigation last year found that government vaccine registration websites were inaccessible to the blind. Spurred by that story, the Department of Justice reached an agreement with five New York local and state government agencies to correct such issues. The DOJ has since reached settlements with Rite Aid, Hy-Vee, Kroger, and Meijer to ensure accessible registration for vaccination appointments. Following an outcry from disability advocates, the CDC updated its list of those with increased risk of severe COVID to include people with disabilities. And in mid-February, the National Institutes of Health's Rapid Acceleration of Diagnostics Tech Program announced an effort to create accessible at-home COVID tests. While the Department of Health and Human Services called on manufacturers to assess at-home COVID tests operability for those with disabilities. But as many doctor appointments have shifted online to keep patients safe amid COVID surges, the inaccessibility of telemedicine has become more of an issue, said Howard A. Rosenblum, CEO of the National Association of the Deaf. The Americans with Disabilities Act and other disability statutes are being violated, he said, when healthcare providers do not provide telemedicine technology with captioning or the ability for interpreters to be in the same teleconference. When Lisa Hamlin, H-A-M-L-I-N, needed to see her nurse practitioner in the 2020 depths of a pandemic, she was initially thrilled to set up a telemedicine appointment to avoid the risk of COVID exposure, until she realized the virtual visit wouldn't have captioning. As a person with hearing loss, Hamlin lip-reads and uses captions to help understand video meetings. The resident of Germantown, Maryland, could barely follow along during the appointment. As director of public policy for the Hearing Loss Association of America, she was enraged, but she was hesitant to do much about it. You're in the middle of a pandemic. How much do you want to alienate your doctor? She asked. A small number of healthcare providers, such as UAB Medicine in Birmingham, Alabama, and MedStar Health in the Washington, D.C. area, do offer interpretive services. Zoom also has a captioning option. But more than 35% of physicians have no idea what their legal responsibilities are to disabled patients under the ADA, according to a Health Affairs article published in January. There's no ADA police, Hamlin said. All the burden is on the consumer. Goel's doctors broke the law, but they are not being punished or penalized for it, and she doesn't know whom she would talk to about suing. Although the technology advancements in Goel's lifetime, like the free interpretation service used to conduct this interview with her, have given her more independence and connection with others, the pandemic has stripped much of it away, she said. It has limited her ability to use Uber to travel places due to increased costs and pandemic risk, and isolated her at home with her parents. Instead of growing in independence, it just feels like I've gone backwards, she said. The accelerating shift toward at-home testing that used to be done in doctors' offices is another growing problem for disabled Americans, said Brian Bashin, CEO of the Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired in San Francisco. Take colon cancer screening, he said. Many doctors now recommend patients do a fecal collection at home. Put a portion of one's poop in a test tube, write the date on it, and send it to the lab. Let me tell you, I will never subject a friend of mine to help me with this, said Bashin, who is blind. While he was eventually able to schedule a screening appointment with his doctor after talking to his insurance company, it delayed his care. Accessibility needs to be a part of what we do as a government, as a society, Bashin said. The ADA says that you don't just have accessibility when things are running normal. Michelle Hackman, a blind Wall Street Journal reporter in Washington, D.C., tried to get her rapid COVID tests reimbursed via her Aetna Healthcare flexible spending account. But Aetna insisted she print out and mail or fax the receipts, even after she called and explained how difficult that would be for her. It then asked her to have someone help her, something Hackman is all too used to hearing. That's really the indignity, she said, especially when she didn't want to risk infecting anyone. Eventually, she talked a manager at Aetna into letting her forward her Amazon receipts. Imagine going through this for every single receipt I want to submit, she said. When asked about its response to Hackman's situation, Aetna spokesperson Ethan Slavin said, We're committed to making all of our services accessible to our members and make appropriate accommodations for members with disabilities. The company then reached back out to Hackman to process her forms. Slavin also sent KHN a medical information release form for Hackman to fill out, which would have allowed the company to discuss her situation. But she would have had to print, write on, and rescan it, the problem she called them about to begin with. KHN reporters Victoria Knight and Hannah Recht contributed to this article. KHN, Kaiser Health News, is a national newsroom that produces in-depth journalism about health issues. Together with policy analysis and polling, KHN is one of the three major operating programs at KFF, Kaiser Family Foundation. KFF is an endowed nonprofit organization providing information on health issues to the nation. From NewYorkTimes.com, the skiing Aigners, A-I-G-N-E-R-S, are a nation unto themselves. The visually impaired siblings and their guides accounted for more medals at the Beijing Paralympics than several powerhouse countries. Dateline March 13th. Yangqing, China. The 2022 Winter Paralympics ended Sunday with China winning by far the most medals, 61, followed by the undaunted Ukrainian team and Canada. But if the Aigner family, the four skiing siblings from rural Austria, were a country, they would have finished eighth at these games. They captured more medals on their own, 11, six golds, than countries like Norway, Japan, Italy, and Sweden. Veronica and the twins, Johan and Barbara, along with Elizabeth, Veronica's older sister and guide, are a powerhouse ski nation unto themselves. They are the Von Trapps of Austrian vision-impaired skiing, and their debut at the Paralympics created a lot of buzz. The Aigners' other guides are Clara Sikora, S-Y-K-O-R-A, and Matteo Fleischmann, who are boyfriend and girlfriend and honorary members of the Alpine Aigner clan, which took home 9 of Austria's 13 medals. The guides' medals do not count in the official standings, but Elizabeth Aigner said she would cherish her two as much as anyone else in the family. We are very fortunate to experience this because not everyone can say they went to the Paralympics, Elizabeth Aigner said, but to be able to share it with the whole family is incredible. It was a family holiday, she said, but with a lot of medals. Veronica Aigner, 19, won 2 gold medals with Elizabeth, 23, skiing down in front of her. When they won the first gold on Friday, they embraced at the finish line for over a minute. During that hug, we were not speaking a lot because we were crying so much, Veronica said. We were so happy and so proud of Bobsy, too. Bobsy is Barbara Aigner, 16, the twin of Johannes Aigner. They burst onto the para-alpine ski scene at the World Championships in January in Lillehammer, Norway, like a sudden storm, winning gold medals in their first major international competition. When Johannes arrived in China, he was not certain he would even enter the vision-impaired downhill race until he fared well in a practice run. He entered and won gold, then won another gold in the giant slalom, and 5 medals in all. These Paralympics are over, but the vision-impaired alpine ski world will have to deal with this family for a long time. We have a lot of years ahead of us, Barbara said through Sikora, her guide. The goal is to keep continuing what we started. For most competitors in the age of COVID, traveling to the Paralympics meant going alone. Family members were not allowed to join adult competitors, but one parent or guardian could accompany each athlete under 18. That enabled both parents, Petra and Christian Agner, to make the trip, one for each of their 16-year-old twins. The only one who could not travel was Irmgard, the eldest, who once served as Veronica's guide. The three racers, Veronica, Barbara, and Johannes, all have congenital cataracts, a condition at birth that causes cloudiness on the lens of the eye, which can cause decreased vision and blindness. The vision-impaired siblings have all had at least two surgeries to stabilize their decay, but they still have difficulty seeing and rely on guides to get down the slopes. Petra Agner was born with the same condition and has had 30 surgeries to keep it from growing worse. She is unable to see her children race from the stands, so Christian Agner gives her turn-by-turn updates. I'm glad I can't see it, Petra Agner said through an interpreter shortly after her daughters finished first and second in the slalom. I would be too nervous. The Agners live on a farm in Glognitz, Glognitz, a hamlet of roughly 6,000 people around an hour south of Vienna on the Austrian Autobahn. The farm has 30 chickens that produce eggs for the family and neighbors, four workhorses, a donkey, and rabbits. Christian Agner works as a caretaker for a water pipeline that runs through nearby woods, and Petra tends to the farm along with Barbara, who loves animals. The older sisters were the first to ski. Soon all joined in. Sikora, who met them through racing, eventually became Barbara's guide. Her father, Thomas Sikora, won the bronze medal in slalom at the 1998 Winter Olympics in Nagano, Japan. He now works as a television commentator. In one of his gigs, he dons a video camera atop his helmet and careens down the mountain, giving viewers in Ski Mad Austria a sense of the course. He is a guide of sorts, and Clara Sikora performs similar work just for a single person. One night last year, Clara Sikora went to dinner at the Agner's home and brought her boyfriend Fleischmann, who was also a ski racer. Petra noticed how well Fleischmann got along with Johannes and asked him to serve as her son's guide. The guide role is critical in vision-impaired skiing and requires immaculate teamwork and an almost sacred trust. Guides descend the course ahead of the racer, not too far ahead or they won't be heard, but not so close to slow the racer or cause a crash. They call out the turns and bumps as they go. It is a unique bond, which explains why Sikora and Fleischmann are honorary Agners. We feel very honored to be part of this family, Clara Sikora said. Soon after the group arrived in China for the Paralympics, the athletes' village in Yangqing was dotted with Agners everywhere, especially when the parents who stayed in a hotel joined them. The last few days of racing in particular felt like a celebration of Agner dominance on the slopes. There was Veronica and Elizabeth soaring down, almost as if tethered by string, followed on the medal podium by Barbara Agner and Clara Sikora, while Johannes Agner and Fleischmann racked up medals of their own. In his first run on the giant slalom Friday, Johannes Agner and Fleischmann were in second place, strong enough to virtually ensure a medal, as long as Johannes did not wipe out on his second run. But he wanted more. He told Fleischmann he intended to go all out in their second run, much the way his Austrian forebear Franz Klammer did at the 1976 Olympics. It was a gamble, Fleischmann said with a laugh, but we talked it over and I completely supported his decision, and it paid off. When it was over, they greeted the rest of the family and surrogate family members, all but the parents in the uniform of the Austrian Paralympic Alpine Racing Team, a family nation of medal-winning Agners. I'm really happy to have all my sisters and parents here, Johannes Agner said, with Fleischmann serving as translator. It was unbelievable to come into the finish area and they're all here, cheering for you and hugging you and crying for you. It's just unbelievable. From People.com, Ukraine wins second most medals at 2022 Winter Paralympics amid Russian invasion. A miracle. By Natasha Dado, Dateline March 14th. Ukrainian athletes won more medals than ever at the 2022 Winter Paralympics amid the Russian invasion of their country. The Games wrapped in Beijing, China on Sunday, with Ukraine winning a total of 29 medals in the biathlon and cross-country skiing events, the only two sports it entered. With athletes earning 11 gold, 10 silver, and 8 bronze medals, the performance marked the nation's best ever performance at the Winter Paralympics, NBC Olympics reported. Ukrainian cross-country skier and biathlete Dmytro Siarko, S-U-I-A-R-K-O, admitted he had a hard time focusing because of the turmoil in his homeland. Very hard concentration is needed in biathlon, and I missed twice because yesterday my house where I live was bombed and destroyed, said Siarko, 25, per NBC. Despite the devastating distraction, he won 1 gold and 1 bronze medal for cross-country skiing, as well as 2 bronzes in the biathlon. Even before the games began, there was skepticism about whether Ukraine would compete amid the ongoing conflict. NBC reported that the athletes faced logistical challenges due to the war and were the last team to arrive in Beijing. Valery Sushkevich, president of the Ukrainian Paralympic delegation, told reporters that his country's attendance at the event was a miracle in itself, The Guardian reported. His name is spelled S-U-S-H-K-E-V-Y-C-H. Persevering to not only perform but dominate, Shushkevich stressed, not coming here would have been taking the easy option. Our presence at the Paralympics is a sign that Ukraine is and will remain a country. China came in first place in the overall medal count at the 2022 Winter Paralympics with 61 medals, including 18 golds, according to the final results. Canada followed in third place with 25 medals, and the U.S. took fourth with 20 medals total. Russia's attack on Ukraine continues after their forces launched a large-scale invasion February 24th, the first major land conflict in Europe in decades. Details of the fighting change by days, but the hundreds of civilians have already been reported dead or wounded, including children. More than 1 million Ukrainians have also fled, the United Nations says. The invasion ordered by Russian President Vladimir Putin has drawn condemnation around the world and increasingly severe economic sanctions against Russia. With NATO forces massing in the region around Ukraine, various countries have also pledged aid or military support to the resistance. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky called for peace talks, so far unsuccessful, while urging his country to fight back. Putin, 69, insists Ukraine has historic ties to Russia and he is acting in the best security interests of his country. Zelensky, 44, vowed not to bend. Nobody's going to break us. We're strong. We're Ukrainians, he told the European Union in a speech in the early days of the fighting, adding life will win over death and light will win over darkness. The Russian attack on Ukraine is an evolving story with information changing quickly. Follow People's complete coverage of the war at the Hotlink, including stories from citizens on the ground and ways to help. From MTExpress.com, Jake Adakoff, Sam Wood, Golden in Beijing. Team USA wins gold medal in mixed team relay by John Mentzer, M-E-N-T-Z-E-R, Express staff writer. Dateline March 14th. Mission accomplished. Paralympic cross-country skier Jake Adakoff and guide Sam Wood are bringing a gold medal back to Idaho. On Sunday, Team USA won its first ever mixed relay gold medal in the mixed 4x2.5-kilometer relay race to close out the 2022 Beijing Paralympics at Zhangjiakou National Biathlon Center in Zhangjiakou, China. Along with Adakoff and Wood, Team USA consisted of Oksana Masters, Sydney Peterson, and Dan Gnossen, C-N-O-S-S-E-N. The team finished with a time of 25 minutes, 59.3 seconds. This is Adakoff and Wood's first gold medal and Adakoff's fourth medal overall. Adakoff and Wood, both Sun Valley Ski Education Foundation alumni, earned 2 silver medals earlier in the Beijing Games in the 20K long distance and the 1.2K sprint. In addition, Adakoff earned a silver in the 10K at the 2018 Pyeongchang Games. The 2022 Paralympics were the first for Wood, who is originally from Maine. "We started that so hot," Adakoff said in a statement. "We were just really gas in the beginning, no holding back in the first part. By the time we were at the top of the course, we skied into the lead. From there, we just had to stay on our feet and bring it home. Getting that energy from our teammates for that first part of the race was critical." Masters skied a strong first leg, handing off to Peterson for leg two. Gnossen, a sit skier, held the lead for the third leg before handing the baton off to Adakoff and Wood. The pair then cranked up the intensity for the final lap. China finished second, taking silver with a time of 26:25.3. Canada took the bronze with 27:006, while defending the World and Paralympic champions Ukraine took fourth with 27-21-9. As the Paralympics closed, Team USA finished fifth overall in the medal count with 20, 6 gold, 11 silver, 3 bronze. The cross-country team contributed to 14 of those medals. To go along with the team gold, the team relay team will go home with its fair share of the hardware, as Adakoff, 2 silvers, Masters, 3 silvers, and Peterson, 1 silver, 1 bronze, led Team USA in cross-country this year. The victory also put Masters in the record books with 14 Winter Paralympic medals. Earlier in the Paralympics, Adakoff and Wood took silver in the 20K men's visually impaired long distance with a time of 58.54.4 and silver in the 1.2K sprint with 3.23. Adakoff and Wood took second behind legendary Canadian Paralympian Brian McKeever, guided by Russell Kennedy. McKeever ended his career with 15 Paralympic titles. "It feels good," Adakoff said after the sprint. "This is definitely the best sprint I've ever done. Second is not our goal going into the day, but we feel really good about the race. I'm really happy." The gold medal was the culmination of hard work and a tough decision for Adakoff, who came out of retirement at the behest of Wood. His decision turned out to be a wise one, as now both Adakoff and Wood, the team, who are good friends and roommates in Ketchum, will return home with 3 medals. From the NFB.org, their scholarship programs. The National Federation of the Blind's annual scholarship program is the largest of its kind in the nation. Every year, we award more than $120,000 to blind scholars across the 50 states, the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico in recognition of their achievements and professional aspirations. Thanks to our generous partners, there are 30 merit-based scholarships currently available in excess of $3,000. All scholarships are awarded on the basis of academic excellence, community service, and leadership. The finalists are announced every spring. They then attend our national convention in July, when the winners of each individual scholarship are selected. Scholarship winners have gone on to succeed in careers ranging from computer science and engineering to civil rights law and international diplomacy. New in 2022, $8,000 awards, and more. Read the latest news release, National Federation of the Blind Enhances Largest Scholarship Program for Blind Scholars. The whole thing is a hot link. How to apply? Please complete the application in full by March 31st, 2022. There's a hot link for the online application. Eligibility. The following requirements apply to all applicants. Must be legally blind, PDF, and both eyes. Must be residing in the United States, the District of Columbia, or Puerto Rico. Must be 18 years of age by July 5, 2022. Must be pursuing or planning to pursue a full-time post-secondary course of study in a degree program at a U.S. institution in the fall of the year of application. One scholarship may be given to a person employed full-time while attending school part-time. Must participate in the entire NFB National Convention and in all of its scheduled scholarship program activities. Finalists will receive assistance to attend the National Convention. For more information regarding eligibility, we strongly encourage you to review our scholarship program FAQs. The NFB HumanWare STEM Internship Opportunity. HumanWare is leading an assistive technology company that designs and manufactures products to help blind people participate equally in society. Due to the extraordinary circumstances brought about by the pandemic, this internship opportunity has changed. Please go to the NFB website to hear more. We ran out of time for this week's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.